being providers for the family. And it's good that they do, because that is one of the responsibilities that we are given. In Scripture, we also find that there are other responsibilities, and one of them is to provide guidance and wisdom for the children. And today, we will see how this dad in chapter 4 took his son aside, and it seems like there was this one-on-one conversation going on with them, taking him aside and preparing him for what is coming in life. Perhaps his son is at a stage right now where he's about to leave home, and dad wants to make sure that he's ready, that he knows what's coming up. And so he's going to prepare him. He's going to speak to him. And so it's out of this great concern and love for him that dad takes his son aside to speak to him. And says, really, there's so much that you need to know about life. There's so much you need to master, for not everyone out there is going to have the same love for you as you have experienced at home. And he says, what you need, my son, is wisdom. Gain wisdom. Get understanding. And for those of you who have not looked into this about the meaning of that word wisdom, the word wisdom can be translated as skill. That what you need is skill. And for example, you can have the ability to cook a great dinner. That's your skill. You have skill to cook. Ronaldo's skill is to score goals and play soccer. Terry's skill is to play his instrument well. Anything you do that you really know how to do it, that is your wisdom. That is your skill in the Bible. But when you come to Proverbs and it talks about wisdom, it's the highest skill and the most important skill that you can have. And that skill is to live a beautiful life before God. A life that God is able to say to you, bravo, you have done well. Everything you do with skill. You are skilled in your relationships. You are skilled when it comes to handling money. You are skilled when it comes to knowing what to do with your time. And because you have that skill, you have wisdom. Because you know how to listen to me and how to read the Word of God, that is your skill. You have wisdom. And in Proverbs 27:12, we read that the prudent, they see danger and they take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. As I said, the father is trying to prepare his son, his children, and saying, look, there's things that are coming that you're going to encounter, and you need to be able to spot danger that's coming, and you need to learn how to escape it. That's going to be part of your wisdom. Now, the child might say, well, why do I need this skill? And one of the reasons given is very straightforward. My son, I want to spare you as much pain and suffering and harm as I can. I want you to take refuge before the danger comes so that you will not have to go through this pain and this suffering and this heartache, because it will come to you if you don't avoid it. And this suffering that will come about will bring suffering not just to you, but also to the community. And if you look at the verse even prior, it'll bring suffering to the family as well. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to perish. I don't want you to waste your life. Son, there are long-term consequences for the decisions that you are about to make. There are long-term consequences depending on the actions that you take. You remember God the Father, the Creator, when he made Adam and Eve. One of the first things that he did is, look, you have all these blessings out there. Go and enjoy them. You can eat from any tree of the garden, but of this one you shall not eat of it, because the day in which you eat of it, you shall die. There will be consequences if you eat of this tree, and I will spare you. Yet, of course, there was another in the garden, and the serpent came and said, what? You will not die. In fact, you will become like gods. And it says right from the very beginning, God was trying to warn his children and remind them, the decisions you make, the actions you take, will have long-term consequences. But there were others who were saying, no, don't worry about it. There are no consequences. In fact, these things are good, and it will lead to good. And this is the world in which people live today. This is the world in which children are growing up. This is the world in which people go to school in. The Lord God is saying, if you make these decisions, there will be harm and trouble and suffering. But at the same time, kids today are hearing a different voice and saying, no, don't worry about it. It's fear-based. You'll be fine. Go ahead and do it. In fact, go ahead and do it, because you'll even be better if you do it. You'll be better off. And so there's these warnings here. The right decision will lead to joy and life and peace, and the wrong one will lead to suffering. This is so basic. It's the ABCs of our understanding of spiritual life and moral life. And so again, the parent is just trying to teach his son about these various decisions and where they all lead. And that's why if you read through Proverbs, you'll find this. If you go into the house of an adulteress, my son, her house will lead you down to death. You will lose your money. You will lose respect in the community. You will lose your marriage. And God will oppose you. Be careful of the decisions that you make. If you join a gang, it will result in the loss of life, maybe yours, maybe somebody else's. You may end up in prison. You may find that it's very difficult to get out of that group later on. If you're lazy, you will be of little use to the community. You will not be able to support yourself. Others will go ahead in their lives, but you will fall behind. They will have, and you will have nothing. Be careful. The decisions you make will have consequences. Says that this is the world we live in. Learn it. There are real consequences to the decisions you make. And later on, you will find in Scripture as well, if you reject Christ, if you turn your back on God, you will have to face eternal separation from Him. There are consequences to our decisions. And this is what Proverbs and Scripture are teaching us, that these consequences, these that we make, especially more that have a moral dimension to it, they will have moral implications and spiritual implications for our lives. You can't ignore God's morals. You can't ignore God's guidance and God's word and expect everything to turn out good. This is very basic in Proverbs. That's why I like to call it the ABCs of moral and spiritual living. You need this book, young people, and older people. You need this book to graduate in the spiritual life. Read it. For 50 years, I heard that Billy Graham read a chapter of Proverbs every single day. We need this book. And so he reminds us, there will be suffering. There will be mentally or physically, spiritually, psychologically, there will be suffering. You will experience harm. You know, it's very interesting. I was reading a book by a man called Dr. Dalrymple. He's a medical doctor and a counselor and an author, very astute. And he said that he became aware one day when many of his patients were coming in, that they came in with problems, and yet the way they described it is, they said, you know, I'm feeling depressed. And he said he realized that there was a time when most people who came to his office used to say, I'm unhappy. But now they were all saying they were depressed. And he said that he counted almost 1,000 patients, and only 2 or 3 of them used the word unhappy. Everybody else started using the word depressed. And he wondered, is this just a semantic shift that people are choosing this word rather than another word? And he realized that behind that semantic shift, the change of words, that people had a completely different view of why they were suffering. And what he realized was that people were beginning to think that depression was something that happened in my brain. I didn't have the right chemicals weren't flowing. And so what I need is a doctor to give me pills so that I stop being depressed. He said that's what people came into his office to do. He said the only thing is that he knew his patients very well. And he knew the kind of lives they were living. And his concern was that all of a sudden people were disconnecting the way they live and the unhappiness in their life, and expected that somehow these pills alone were going to solve the depression problem. And he said to them, that the reason that you're unhappy is because you have chosen to live in a way that you ought not to live, and in which it is impossible to be happy. What an insight. Now please understand, I'm not suggesting that depression doesn't have, you know, perhaps a chemical imbalance and all the rest. I believe that there is, and I really think that the way forward is for a physician and a pastor to work together. But so much of the way people think about the problems in their life is that really what they need is some pills. And this doctor, very astute, very insightful, realized that people were disconnecting the way they live and what was going on in their lives. Why they were depressed, why they were unhappy. And so I think it's important for us, when you read Proverbs makes that link. It makes a link between the way you live, the decisions you make, and whether you experience internal harm in your life. There's a proverb that everybody, I'm sure, has heard. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. And this is really in keeping with what we find here in this proverb as well, that prevention is so much better because it will make your life really less complicated. And the basic idea in this is that it's easier, you know, to say no at the very beginning than to try to solve the problem later on after you've given in to the temptation, right? It's easier to say no to a young man or a young woman's advances right at the very beginning than to later on have to deal with the problem of an unwanted pregnancy. It's a lot easier, a lot less complicated, if you do the right thing from the beginning than if you have to try to solve the problem later on. Sin complicates life. Holiness simplifies life. Sin will complicate your life. The verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. If you tell the truth, you don't have to try to remember what lie you told. It's so much simpler. It's so much easier. Your life will be so much easier. If you live a life of integrity, you tell people that what you see is what you get. It's simple. But when you have a secret life, it's so difficult and complicated to try to hide it from everybody. It will bring a lot of harm to you. Sin complicates life. Holiness simplifies it. And the Father, and this proverb, and God says, look, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. So much better. Say no at the beginning, and you won't have to deal with the issues, the complicated issues later on. The Father also wants his Son to avoid suffering because there is no guarantee that there will be a cure. That's why an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. It even goes further. There may not be a cure for your suffering. Now, a lot of young people, a lot of us as well, we just have this idea that, you know, whatever we do, even if, you know, terrible things happen, it can always be solved quickly, easily, and that, you know, there's no lasting effect. And yet Proverbs has this warning to people and says, guys, there may not be any simple cure. That's why I want to warn you now. Proverbs speaks of a young man, and it says, whose shame will never be wiped away. Because of your misdeeds, you may get fired, and you may never get that job back. Because of your misdeeds, your spouse may never take you back. Because of your misdeeds, your children and others may never respect you again. Because of your misdeeds, you may never have financial stability in your life. You may hurt somebody so badly that they may never forgive you for what you did. Just recently on the news, a young man decided to drink and get drunk and got behind the wheel and killed two or three people. What's the cure? The parents are just so broken by it all. And she said on the news, I can never forgive him for what he did. There may be no cure for that. So before you get into the car drunk, remember that there are consequences and there may be no easy cure for you. I had a friend that I used to I used to visit him in prison. That's how I got to know him. And one day he had come out of prison, and I saw him in Montreal. He was in a wheelchair. And when I knew him in prison, he was fine. He was healthy. And I just came up to him, and I asked him, what happened? And he told me. He said that one night they got really, really drunk, and he got on his bike and was just speeding downhill and lost control of it, landed on the pavement, broke his spine, and was never able to walk again. One night! One night. The prudent see danger, and they take refuge. But the simple, they keep going and they suffer for it. And the Lord would not have us suffer. Now, it says as well, son, you must acknowledge these traps for what they are. And by seeing them as dangerous, then you're able to avoid them. So it says here that the prudent actually see the danger. Okay, these are the wise people. They see danger. And they avoid it. The problem with the simple in this proverb is that either he doesn't see that danger is coming, or he doesn't care that it's coming. And you have to say, some people, they don't see drunkenness as a danger. They see it as, wow, this will be have a lot of fun. They don't see one-night stands as a danger. They see it as exciting. And what we find here is that the wise person will see it as danger and call it for what it is. Again, if I could quote Dr. Dalrymple and his experience with his patients, and I just thought, wow, this is incredibly insightful. And this is what he says about his patients. untold numbers of my patients with every opportunity to lead quiet, useful, and tolerably prosperous lives, choose instead the path of complication. And, if not of violence and physical danger exactly, at least drama and excitement, leading to sleepless nights and financial loss. They break up marriages, they form disastrous liaisons, they chase fantasies, and they behave in ways that predictably will end in disaster. Like moths to the flame, they court catastrophe. And as many have told me, they prefer disaster to boredom. I learned early on that if people are offered the opportunity of tranquility, they often reject it and choose torment instead. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that insightful? Isn't that true? Hasn't Paul also even said that in Romans chapter 7? That I know the good, I can see it, and yet there's something in me that makes me desire what's wrong. We are prone to wander. We are prone to leave the God we love. But just think about that when he says that people sometimes are given a choice between a safe life, a life where there's no harm, but they will prefer to throw that away and have a life that is full of drama and a life that is full of pain and wickedness. How broken are we as human beings? How broken are we that we prefer darkness to light? This suggests a very deep problem in human nature. And we are in bondage. And so what the problem is here, or the dad can point this out. Listen, the problem isn't just out there. I wish it was. The problem is that it's in here. It's in us. That's also true of the big problem. But let me just say, in terms of, you know, there are some people that they like to live on the edge, and they find, you know, just having a family and doing the right thing and going to church and this, that, it's too boring a life. Christianity is too boring for them. Let me challenge you, all right? Become a missionary to the cannibals. Become a missionary to the Hell's Angels. Become a missionary to Islamic countries where you will get killed if you share the gospel with people. You want excitement? You want drama? There's a lot of drama in the Christian life. Go out there. That's drama. And live in the light. There is drama in Christ. You don't need to be living a life of darkness, of evil, and of sin to get drama. Be fully sold out for Christ, and you will see there's lots of drama out there for you. Again, the very reality, though, that the problem is not just out there, but it's in us, just tells us that this isn't something that will be solved simply with good moral education, right? We need spiritual transformation. We need God to actually come and change our lives. You know, David's prayers: create in me a clean heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. You know what scares me is what I see inside me, not just what I see out there. I am attracted to that stuff. I know it's wrong. I know it's bad. I know how evil it can be. I know the consequences, but I have something inside me that attracts me. That's the problem. It's not just about making, you know, right decisions at that point. It's we need to have God change our lives, because the only way to solve the problem is, you know, to avoid lies. The way to solve the problem is for you to just love truth. If you learn to love truth, you will solve the problem of lies. If you want to avoid injustice, you have to learn how to love righteousness. When you love righteousness, then injustice won't have the same power over you. If you want to avoid sin, then you have to love holiness. If you want to hate the ways of Satan, you must love the ways of God. And you can't do that on your own. This is where we need spiritual transformation. It's a work of God in our lives. It's the only way that that is going to happen. We need to turn to Him. Another lesson here. Get to know yourself. See, the wise man sees danger and he hides from it. Now, let me just emphasize the hiding part. It's not being a coward. Some people might think this is cowardliness here, but that's not what it is. This is wisdom. One of my favorite movies of all times, and people at 19th know this, and I keep using this as sermon examples and analogies, but it's the Fellowship of the Ring. See, there was this great ring with such great power, and whoever was given this ring, they would have absolute power, and they could be powerful people. There were a lot of people that really wanted this ring. And on different occasions, there were some good people from the Fellowship that were offered the ring. The wizard Gandalf was offered the ring. Aragorn was offered the ring. And both of them reacted as soon as it was offered and said, "Keep that away from me. You have no idea what power that will have over me. It will destroy me. I cannot handle that. I cannot handle absolute power. It's not for me." Those individuals knew themselves. They knew what would destroy them. And so they were able to hide from it. You have to know yourself. You have to know your weaknesses. You have to know what's in you. You have to know what tempts you. You have to know what makes you fall. And many of us just have no idea of this. We think that the way to go through life is to always think that you're strong and that you can handle it. That's how so many of us start taking drugs. We think, "I can handle it." I can't tell you how many of my friends growing up died of overdoses because they thought they can handle it. And first you think, "I can handle one pill, and then two pills, and then three pills, and then you need more and more. I can handle it. I can handle it." I can't tell you how many young people have gotten pregnant because they thought they can handle being alone in a dark room, in a bedroom with a boyfriend or girlfriend. They thought they can handle it. They didn't have to hide. They didn't have to put a fence around them and a gate and say, "You know what, I better not do that. I know myself. I know the potential." And even after I became a Christian, I thought, "I'm going to go and win my friends back." And so I started, at the time, I didn't really know any Christians, so I went back to my old crowd, and I went back to them, and little by little, I began to realize that, wow, I wasn't changing them. They were changing me. And one of my companions at the time said, "Oh, Vic, we all thought we had lost you, but it's nice to have you back." I tell you, he had no idea how the Spirit of God was going to use that saying. It scared the living daylights out of me. But I realized, they're right. They're right. They were actually changing me. You don't know it. You think you've got all this strength and that you don't even have to be worried about trusting God and listening to His Word. It's not wisdom for you to think you can handle anything and everything. It's wisdom when you see danger and you hide and you take refuge. That is wisdom. I wish I can tell you, and the Bible will tell you, the enemy is so strong. The enemy is strong. He's deceitful. And many of you have not grown to the place of maturity yet, where you know how to handle the wiles of the devil. Look throughout the scriptures. You will see David was a man after God's own heart. He fell. Abraham fell. Moses fell. The great people of God fell. Solomon, a man with great wisdom, fell. Learn from them. Learn from them. And put on that full armor of God. But it's so important that you get to know yourself. Now, in order to succeed, you have to be willing to learn from other people's experiences rather than just your own. Absolutely necessary. You have to learn from people who've been down the road that you're going down. And you need to be able to come to people who are your seniors, your old people who are your elders, and say, look, I'm going down this path in life. These are my circumstances, and I would like some wisdom. What did you do to get through this part of life? How did you manage it? And some, I can tell you, will give you positive advice. I did this and it worked. Others will say, oh, I can tell you, I did that and it brought nothing but harm and pain and danger in my life. And the reason I am where I am today is because I made some really bad decisions. But by God's grace, I'm so thankful that you're asking me, because now I can tell you how you can avoid that. See, God doesn't waste our experiences and our pain. And I would say, seek out those competent people, those godly people, those caring people, those people who are wise and have their wisdom from both life's experience and from the scriptures. Seek them out. And they will keep you on the right track. There's a proverb here that the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. That's the fool. Says, I'm not going to learn from anybody. I'm going to figure it out all on my own. And I don't care how many people tell me otherwise. I'm going to pursue my understanding, my desire of things. You know, even in the secular world, you know, I understand that schools sometimes that they're inviting people who have been smokers all their life. And I heard of one person who was going from school to school to school, and she was dying of cancer, and yet she was still smoking, and yet she came before the kids and said, kids, please do not start on this. This is where it leads. And I'm standing here before you to let you know that even though I know this is going to kill me, I can't get off of it. And even schools sometimes know the best thing to do is to bring people who have life experiences, even those who have failed, and use their story to hopefully reach a new generation so that they understand the dangers of it. Lastly, the greatest reason, I believe, for why people's lives are often in a mess, not always. Like I preached a message about how sometimes we can be in a time of trial and be right where God wants it. This is the ABCs. This is what you have control over. I'm not suggesting you have control over everything. I'm not suggesting that other people can't make your life miserable. But Proverbs is talking about you and the decisions you make. Now, greatest reason people mess up their life is because they don't know God, they don't trust God, they don't obey God, and they certainly don't fear Him. Ask yourself, looking back at your life, when you got yourself into a real mess, ask yourself the question, had I followed God's ways, would I be where I am right now? And for the vast majority of times, you would have to say and admit, had I followed God's word, had I obeyed Him, I would not have ended up where I am right now. Obey God's word. It is wisdom. It is there given to us because He loves us. And my last thought before I close there is danger coming up ahead. And the prudent who see it will take refuge, but the simple will just keep going on and suffer for it. Friends, there is coming a day of judgment. There is coming a day of settling accounts. There is coming a day when God will ask you, what did you do with your life? It's coming. Every human being will stand before God to give an account. Everybody. And the judgment will be so thorough. It will be so just, so righteous, that anybody who thinks that they're going to be able to go through that with flying colors is just naive and does not understand the nature of the judgment that is coming. And if you're simple and unwise and you don't know God, then you will continue to press ahead and suffer harm. But here we see that there is a place of refuge. Let me tell you what this place of refuge is. You and I have messed up. You and I have made some really bad decisions in life. And there are consequences to it. We have displeased God. We have offended Him. We have hurt Him. But God, out of His great love for us, for wayward sons, for prodigal children, out of His great love, He has sent His only Son to come and die on a cross, to take those eternal consequences, to take them upon Himself. And this is where we leave the ABCs of morality and the ABCs of spirituality, and we are talking about the great deep truths of God. Because this isn't just a normal consequence. This is God, out of His kindness, realizing that the cause and effect relationship should lead you straight to hell. But because of grace and mercy, He steps in and says, I will stop those consequences from falling on you who deserve it, and I will take the consequences and redirect it towards my Son Jesus so that you can be free and forgiven. And then from that point on, the Spirit of God will come inside of us and will change us and give us new desires and give us a new nature so that we will be able to love what is good and hate what is evil. This is the good news of the gospel. And I want to just give you that opportunity today, this morning, this afternoon, to just ask God for forgiveness, to receive Christ into your life. And you say, but sometimes I've done that and it hasn't happened right away. What I'm going to suggest to you is ask and you shall receive. It's a promise. You say, but I have asked. Well, then I'm going to say, seek Him and you shall find Him. If He wants you to pursue Him, then keep pursuing Him. And if He wants you to knock on His door until He opens it, but do not let God go until you have found this peace and this forgiveness and this power in your life. Our Father, thank You. This message comes from a God that loves, a God that forgives, a God that empowers, a God that indwells. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Have Your ways in the lives of our children, in our lives, for we have been down this road before. And protect them, Lord. For that is the desire of every parent. Protect our children. Protect them, deliver them from evil. Have Your way in our lives. To God be the glory. Be wise, live well, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.